This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Faber Boyd-Adaris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe. This is your weekly podcast about gamification, gaming technology, and play. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, not of any organization which we have been, are, or will be affiliated. This is episode 152, Friends, Romans, Geeks, Lend Me Your Code, and was recorded on Friday, the 18th of November, 2016.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Phaedra Boyd-Adaris, and I'm joined here by my good friend, Michael. How are you, Michael?
I am doing terrific, Phaedra. Thank you very much. We got a fun show here for our listening audience today, I tell you.
I think, is this not the first show after our erstwhile election?
It is the first show after the election in the United States. It is. And boy, do we have an apropos topic.
Indeed we do. Today, we are going to talk to you about civic engagement and how technology can play a key role, something we are all invested in.
Absolutely. And there's several different links that in the pre-show we were talking about that we found here that'll help this, you know, for civic engagement and debugging politics and just doing things a different way. So let's dive right into the progress.com example of using games for civic engagement.
Yes, indeed. Are you talking about the TechCrunch article?
Yeah, well, this one I think started with TechCrunch, but it's now from Progress, P-R-O-G-R-S-S. And these guys say that they're all about urban innovation, you know, new ideas for urban centers. So they've got a couple different ways about, you know, how to leverage game agents for cities and to make cities a better place.
Yes, indeed. In fact, they had five different examples from cities around the world that covered everything from how is it that you might crowdsource problems that are happening from around the city and be able to glean instant feedback, all the way to being able to gauge sentiment on different kinds of programs that the city has invested in. They also talked about budget balancing games. And I know I've mentioned this on the show before, and in fact, in 2 weeks' time, out in the city of San Jose, they're doing their sixth budget balancing game with a cohort of citizens that have leveled up through their point systems on social apps for good to be able to win a seat at the table to do budget balancing. So talk about speaking to intrinsic motivation.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And you know, I love the very first one in the list here too, coming from Sweden in Oslo, the Oslo app called Traffic Agent, which allows school kids to take on the role as a secret agent as they go into the city and go to school, and they get to live report any kinds of safety hazards or challenges that they encounter on the way into school. And that data then is tracked right from their mobile device using GPS. It's reported into the school, so that's a nice privacy protection right there. And by gamifying the safety and hazard kind of structure of these kids as they're walking to school, the parents are feeling better that the kids are in a safe spot, and the kids are a little more aware and engaged as they're walking and not just necessarily not paying attention as they're getting to school. So I love that.
I concur. These are all extremely clever. I highly recommend it. We'll post this link to the show notes so that you might be able to see. But again, as I mentioned, in a couple of weeks, there's Engage the Bay out in San Jose. So if you want to get your own taste of what it's like to participate with civic engagement using gameplay or through a gamified experience, then definitely do come to that event because it will be a tremendous amount of fun. Some other ideas I've heard expressed around city transformation is this concept of how is it that you might be able to, using an analysis of big data, glean how people are feeling about certain kinds of subjects. Like, can you, as you're driving into a city, get an immediate sense, maybe from an icon, a city icon that's glowing a certain color, for example, how's the, what's the mood of the city right now? How are people feeling about a particular kind of topic, you know? Or imagine, you know, if even if you take pictures of your favorite park or your favorite swimming pool and you're expressing an emotion, is there a way to sort of curate or mine that kind of information to be able to get insights as to how your people feel? I think there's a lot that can be done with technology, at least in terms of getting that kind of information about how citizens feel about things. What do you think, Michael?
You know, to me, this is a kind of an opportunity for an art installation. So I'm thinking two things. One is about color, which is easy to do, you know, just hooking up to a hue light or something like that and having a color represent the general tone or sentiment or, you know, celebration in Chicago of the Cubs win, something like that. But there could also be something where, and I'm trying to remember where I've seen this. I think I saw this in Munich at the BMW Museum, where imagine if you will, a series of steel balls hanging by cables from the ceiling, and the ceiling cables can be altered up or down. So in this particular art installation, you are able to see the outline of various vehicles over time. You can see the 1936 Roadster, and then you can see a version that was from, you know, 2006, and how the curves and the shape have changed because those balls go up or down in the ceiling. So imagine if you could do something where the artwork, that is the shape of the art, as well as the color around it, would have significance or meaning to give a sense of what the city is experiencing that day.
I love that. Really love that idea. I really love that idea. Yeah. Some way, and if you can even see it from afar, like you're flying over the city or you're driving towards the city, and you sort of see, okay, it's glowing blue today. People are really upset about something. I better check this out, you know? And then you could do a quick hashtag search and find out what people are talking about. Or I just think that would be interesting. The concept of giving a city a personality unto itself, you know, a quick way of being able to gauge how people feel about things.
Right. And you know, the Chicago piece, I'm kind of thinking about this too. I heard about it just recently, and they used a slightly different name for this, but there was an Internet of Things concept where it was a city instrumenting itself. So it could watch, for example, pedestrians and traffic that were in intersections. It could keep track of temperature and know when there may need to be snow removal. It could sense where the traffic is backing up, and then because that mesh is integrated in with the rest of the city's traffic systems, you could start to resolve your traffic issues, you know, three stoplights away by just altering the time of the red and green lights. So some really interesting aspects to this, while at the same time a need for it to have a certain amount of restrictions and security so that it can't be hacked for nefarious means, nor can it be used for personal identification, for example, in the future. Because once you start putting good quality cameras in certain places, you could do license plate or facial recognition unless you are explicitly not providing the necessary hardware and software to be able to do those sorts of things. So it's kind of an interesting balance to strike where you instrument a city to be able to react and make life better for its citizens, while at the same time not turning it into some sort of a police state.
A fine balance, I'm sure. Yes, mm-hmm. I concur. And I think it will be very interesting. Again, the more data that we're gleaning about a city, I mean, there's been such great initiatives around opendata.gov, right? And these mass amounts of data from a wide spectrum of different sources that is being made freely available to different kinds of developers to tap into, you know, are there ways of being able to use that more and more and more in social apps for good? But I was curious, what do you think of this concept of having those citizens that are intrinsically motivated to really be altruistic, give back, help affect public policy, to win seats at a table through the accrual of points? What are your thoughts on this?
Gosh, you know, I haven't thought too much about that yet, Phaedra. This could be an area where the point allocation, you know, anytime I hear things that deal with points, I immediately leap to credit card reward programs or airline miles, and then the inherent inflation that goes along with those kinds of points. So there, anytime you do a model like this, there needs to be a significant economic governance throttle put in there so that you don't get adoption and then all of a sudden the point awards right. get skewed sort of the wrong way.
You know what I'm saying? That's an excellent, excellent point about points. So for example, who's going to measure my altruistic efforts towards one civic program higher than someone else's civic? You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
who's going to say what's the point allocation for this? And you know, there might be some skewage happening there. That's an excellent point.
Ah, here I found it. It's called the array of things.
Okay.
We'll put that into the show notes there too. And there's a couple of blog posts about the very topics I was just hitting on, Internet of Things in Action, prioritizing resident engagement when implementing the Internet of Things, and then privacy and governance of data. So super cool things. So go on a little bit more, Phaedra. You may have had some further interaction in this space and some further thoughts here than I have. Where have you seen some examples of this sort of point structure and engagement model really working well?
Well, I can tell you about the city in Sweden that certainly helped to motivate its citizens extrinsically. Mm-hmm. And I think we've mentioned this before, the speed trap lottery, right?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. yeah, so for those on the call who aren't familiar with this, this is a special program that the city put out where they had a lot of problems with speeders on their roadways. And if they had a special camera set up, and those who were going over the speed limit, the camera would take a picture of their license plate and they would be fined. But this fine, instead of going to the city, was actually going into a lottery pool so that those who went under the speed limit could actually have a chance to win. And apparently this had such a huge effect, not only in terms of the number of people who were suddenly abiding by the rules of the road, but also in terms of morality. Like, people really liked this a lot. Mm-hmm. And talked about it to a great extent. And certainly since then, we've seen a lot of cool projects around things like sustainability. And let me share information regarding my energy uses versus your energy usage and those kind of things. But I think when it comes to this idea of moving more towards intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic, and what people who are intrinsically motivated to help a city, what they want more than anything else is a seat at the table, you know, right. So that they can affect public policy. They don't have to be a politician. They want to be an ambassador of change. So how do you as a citizen show that in fact you've had a lot of experience and you've been giving back to the city for a long time and you've been involved in all these different kinds of programs and initiatives? Like, if it's not a point structure via social apps for good, what's another mechanism? Is it badging? You know,
no.
Is it like, I'm certified? And
it's kind of a commit structure. So think about it this way. I was learning a little bit today around some of the crowdsourced Apache-driven set of technologies, right? And in one of the sets of technologies, there are examples there of how many people have committed or written commits of code into that environment. So you could see here where it is a collaboration measurement that says if you are in a civic engagement structure and you care about public policy or traffic or education or whatever, your interest is shown by showing up, number one, and number two, the value of contributions that you're making for the greater good, which could be upvoted or downvoted actually by others in the process.
Mm. You know, I like that idea.
Isn't that kind of neat? Because it's a little more meritocracy based, right?
It is. Because then in this way, you're able to crowdsource what the value is. versus someone arbitrarily saying this is worth 50 points. You know what I mean?
Well, and that has been around for a little while. Like when I think about Hewlett-Packard's help website, which I thought they had this down already several years ago, where if you logged in to the HP help environment and said, gosh, I've got this printer and I've been having this problem, and you would post against it, and there'll be a number of people that would want to respond to you right away. And if you said, yes, this really helped me, thank you very much, those would then translate into reputation elements that would enhance the person who helped you. So it was kind of a good for good for all concerned, especially given the number of volunteers that were helping, right? So why couldn't that same model translate well to, you know, hey, we've got an issue here with trash collection at this park in the city?
Yeah. Oh, I love that idea. I really do. And you're contributing back immediately, and people are able to say, you know, I like this idea, I don't like this idea. And
well, and then if someone took actual action, you know, you could show it, you could prove it, you take a photo, you know, before, after, whatever, and then people could then upvote you for things that you've done. I mean, that could be really nice too, huh?
And they upvote you, and then when you get enough upvotes, it unlocks that seat at that table that you've been dying to get to in order to start to affect change in a bigger way. Oh yeah, I like it.
Well, I mean, that level of upvoting in at the end of the day really is an election if you think about it, right?
Well, do you think, okay, so imagine a world where actually this was the way we were electing a president. Do you envision that could ever happen?
I would think that is very impossible because...
Wait a minute, you just bust my bubble.
I'm sorry. You know, I think for some sort of city council kind of thing, you bet, right? For president, the number of things that a president has to cater for, everything from economic policy through to social and justice and foreign relations and.
What if you could show? I mean, the whole thing is it's transparent, right? So here's all the things that I've done, bam, 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 you know, and it's, again, the meritocracy. It's just more stuff that they've got to be able
stuff.
To prove.
You're unlocking more capability, right? You know,
exactly.
More powers,
more seats and more tables.
You get 3 executive orders now for that.
Exactly. But only in the domain that you've specialized in.
Yes. Yes. These can only be applied towards foreign policy because of your East Asian achievements that you've unlocked. Interesting.
Food for thought.
Yeah. Hey, I'm liking this Zoom thing here too. It's nice to be able to see you as we're talking our way through these things.
It is nice.
So we probably ought to shift gears just a little bit because we've hit, I think, on these main elements here around engaging the Bay, talking about these games for civic process. We didn't touch hard on the debugging politics, so I'd like to go there for a moment. This is actually the TechCrunch article we were talking about before, where the intent here is in a nonpartisan way for the technology industry to find something that they think is wrong with the politics of the day, and then in a hackathon environment, create something to solve that.
I think that's awesome. I love it. And it reminds me, oh, you're shaking your head.
I love it too. No, I think this is great because I want to see the creativity that comes out of it, right? What problems are you going to solve?
Well, maybe it's going to be based on this idea we're talking about, sort of unlocking of levels in terms of civic engagement. And I recall in President Obama's last speech at South by Southwest, he had the same call to action. He said, okay, technologists, technophiles, help us tackle politics, help us tackle civic engagement. Like, there's some serious challenges here. So I like seeing this come to fruition.
Friends, Romans, Greeks, lend me your code.
Lend me your code. Indeed. We need some help with that code.
I'm very intrigued to see what these guys are going to come up with. And I want to see, when is this supposed to be? Because it's supposed to be soon, isn't it?
I was just looking at that too. I don't see
it's 55 minutes ago is when this was posted. Da, 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 da. Might have a different answer for you in a couple of weeks.
It says a hackathon this weekend in San Francisco, followed by events in New York and Los Angeles. So San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, guys.
This is
great. If you're there and you're interested, jump into one of these hackathons.
I'm loving the icon.
Debug politics. Yeah, really good.
Did you see the icon?
I see it.
That's great. So for those of you that are listening, because this is a podcast, the icon is a star in a small field of blue, then followed by ones and zeros in red alternating. So you've got kind of a U.S. flag that way.
It's awesome.
This is super cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. All right. So the other things that we had for today that we thought were cool that we wanted to share with you. So there was a post, and actually there have been several posts recently by our friend Ian, ePredator, looking at virtual reality and augmented reality. And I've been pretty clear about the things that I think are just really intriguing in this space. One of those posts is a CNN article about losing weight using virtual reality.
When you told me this, I remember I just started chuckling, and I'm still chuckling.
Yeah, you were giggling. So, I mean, just the article itself, you know, we've all heard about beer goggles. These are now diet goggles. So if you slap on a virtual reality headset, I would guess that this could work too from an augmented reality perspective, that changes what it is that you're eating or about to eat, you may be able to influence your decisions based upon what you're seeing, right? So just like the tricks are that if you use smaller plates, the food on your plate looks bigger, and therefore you wind up eating less. The Narumi-san, a lecturer, a PhD lecturer at the University of Tokyo, has found that he can change the amount of food a person might eat by 10% by using computer graphics to artificially increase the size of the item that's on the plate, and that you're eating a larger portion. So the trick here, again, according to the article, is that if you do too much of this, right? So if that cookie, you know, instead of being, you know, a little tiny chocolate chip cookie is now as big as your head, your mind goes, ha ha, nice try eyes. You can't fool me. I know that's a small cookie the size of a silver dollar. But if you have just increased it a bit, you know, then that's where this optical illusion begins to have an impact on the brain. So
I just think the whole concept is pretty hilarious, because you've got these goggles on, you've got the headset on, and you get this big, huge slice of pizza that's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you can't open your mouth wide enough be able to get your teeth around the slice of pizza. So you're kind of like, ah. I'm just trying to imagine the fallout. What this would be like just to watch someone eat one of these. It'd be pretty funny.
The visual of you, Phaedra, with that pizza, imaginary pizza.
And the microphone.
Too funny. I love it. So can you imagine a future where we have nanobots that could change the taste of things as well, so that you are eating something healthy and you just happen to have these nanobots that hang out in around your tongue that instead of the pizza tasting like a pizza, it might taste like orange juice or could taste like something else entirely?
I volunteer my preteen for this pilot, whoever's out there.
Yeah, everything needs to taste like macaroni and cheese, right?
No, exactly.
Wow, this chicken tastes like macaroni and cheese. This is great.
It's amazing. It's a keep eating the broccoli, kid. Keep eating the broccoli.
So Ian, thanks again for, you know, highlighting something that it's like this. This is very cool, and this level of life hacking, I think, is going to be only increasing. So it won't just be politics you're hacking. It's going to be your taste buds too. All right. So maybe to close on something super fun for me is I am a backer of a variety of things on Kickstarter because I just love Kickstarter. In fact, just yesterday, I backed the game from the Oatmeal and the creators of Exploding Kittens. They have a new game that they're going to be releasing mid-year next year, I think is the target. And it's called Bears versus Babies. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Exploding Kittens has been great fun for my family. We love it. So I can't wait for this next game to come. But one of my colleagues here at work turned me on to something called the Fidget Cube. And this is also on Kickstarter. I think they're just about getting to the point where they're going to close the Kickstarter and start mass production of these Fidget Cubes. And the best way to describe it is it's just a little cube that has various things on each of its six sides, a rocker switch, you know, a button, you know, lots of little buttons that you can press. And so you can kind of mess around with this while you're doing other stuff. And in looking at the Kickstarter backer kit website on this right now, they are at a paltry 43,105% of their goal. And oh yeah, and it ended 30 days ago.
So they, oh my God.
They wanted $15,000 to make a few of these things, and they wound up with almost $6.5 million.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
Absolutely.
I need to rethink my life. When I look at stuff like this, I'm like, I just need to rethink it.
Seriously, right?
$6 million. Oh my God.
Maybe our little nanobot idea. We kind of need to spice that one up a bit.
No, but this one is so simple. Like, it couldn't be simpler. A teeny tiny little cube with all these little buttons and gadgets. You can sit there and fidget.
Yeah.
And people are throwing $6 million at them. It's like, oh my God.
Well, they thought it through, and the price point was good. And you know, we all mess around with the caps on our pens or just
things around our desk. It's true.
I love it. Can't wait for mine to come.
Brilliant. Awesome. Now, what you'll be getting under the Christmas tree?
Yeah, I know. It always helps when I'm the one buying it.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Phaedra? You do any fun little thing you've noticed here recently in your travels?
Oh, I've been here. I've been there. I'm going to be, as I said, running off to the West Coast in a couple of weeks, you know, prepping for Engage the Bay and getting involved with that, which will be great fun. Really looking forward to that.
Yep.
But that's about it. Oh, of course. Tomorrow, there is going to be a big show at the Marbles Museum in downtown Raleigh for anybody who's in this area of town.
Yeah.
Called the Kids Code Event. And there's going to be drones and robots and toys and mind control devices. And it's just going to be really, really fun. So you should have seen my kitchen table here for the past month or so. Yeah, it's going to be great fun. So hope to see you out there.
So that's Saturday, the 19th of November at Marbles Museum in Raleigh.
Correct.
Okay. So that might be yesterday by the time this is published. Who knows? Okay.
You missed it.
It was awesome. And you missed it. You should have known. We'll tweet it out here in advance. Are you going to personally be there? Are you running a table?
I'm going to personally be there. I've been putting together TJ bots and Arduinos, and we were testing a drone, a Parrot AR 2.0 drone yesterday. And we've got it so that it can be controlled via speech, but we want it to be able to recognize images of us using our arms to direct it. So we're just hoping not to hit anything. That's our hope right now. It'll be fun.
Well, good luck with that. That should be great fun.
Thank you.
Oh, all right. Well, I think that gets us to the end of our show for today. So let me wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving in the United States for our United States listeners. And, you know, give us your ideas, things that you're seeing that you think are interesting, what you think ought to be done to hack politics. Maybe not too much of that. We'll take a little bit of it, you know, trying to be nonpartisan here. But we'd love to hear from you about ideas, things you'd like to hear us talk more about. And we will see you on the interwebs again in a short amount of time. So thanks for listening and see ya.
Thanks, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.